Welcome to another message from the heart. Life-changing messages from the heart of Pastor Darren Brown, Senior Pastor of Coast Church, Wumbai. And now, here's Pastor Brown with another message from the heart.
I want to share with you a message this morning on discouragement. Is anybody here feeling a little flat? I am. I confess that. You know, I go through phases like this. I was reading during my quiet times this week about Nehemiah. You remember he came to rebuild the walls that had been broken down for centuries, and he inspired people and they began to build. But then there was opposition from outside, and there was opposition even from within the camp to stop the work that was going on. Internal conflicts trying to stop the work. In Nehemiah chapter 4 verse 10 it says this: in Judah it was said, the strength of those who bear the burdens is failing. There is too much rubble. By ourselves we will not be able to rebuild the wall. That's what they said back then. They looked at the job. It was too big. It hadn't gone according to plan. There was too much rubble. We can't do it. And you probably started this year full of hope. Do you find you start New Year's full of hope? You make all these, you know, grand ideas and resolutions and all that sort of stuff. But you start full of hope. It's a new year, a new dream of what could be. You set out with expectancy and hope, trusting the Lord, believing that this was the year of great breakthrough. You kept going for a while. You suffered a few disappointments, but you soldiered on. Might have been in your business or your family or your ministry or your church. You soldiered on and kept going. But then things come to the middle of the year and things get tough. Disappointments abound. The hopes of the great that you started off with, those hopes just start to grow dim. Discouragement is a constant specter lurking near the edge of your mind, especially if you want to serve God and you want to make a difference. Can anybody relate to this? Am I the only guy that gets discouraged here? Probably not. Life is filled with problems, challenges, and disappointments. The school fundraiser didn't go as well as we'd hoped. The team finished the season in last place despite all of my efforts as a coach. The event that you organized did not receive glowing reviews despite all your hard work for preparation and long nights. The report from the doctor was worse than you expected. The bills pile up higher than we'd hoped. Family issues you thought had been dealt with raise their ugly head again. Can anybody relate to this? Does it get you down? It does. Things happen that mess up our best laid plans. Often we find ourselves let down and discouraged. Sometimes it's so bad we just want to give up. Discouragement sets in and says, why bother? Nobody cares anyhow. Have you ever said that? What's the point? Despite the circumstances, discouragement does not have to overwhelm us, and we can overcome it. Discouragement ought to be our first indication that it's time to start praying. We often become discouraged because we get too busy and we neglect prayer. Many believers are discouraged by life's problems. Then they lack the confidence that they can deal effectively with life's toughest challenges. We need to call on God to help us understand His guidance in the midst of the circumstances and disappointments that we face. Because we do face disappointments, don't we? Good. That's disappointing. See, disappointments are inevitable, but discouragement is optional. I started this year with high hopes, many of which have not been reached. We all do. And when we start and we feel like that, discouragement is like a downhill spiral, isn't it? It can take over our lives. You start to get a little discouraged, and this thing seems to climb on top of you and push you down. Life is full of disappointments, and as these builders start to pile up, they seem to accumulate and weigh upon us, even to the point of overwhelming us. That's discouragement. Discouragement makes you tired, it saps your strength, and it eventually breaks your heart. And this is commonplace. If you look in the Word of God, you'll see the stories of men and women time after time after time got discouraged. Men like David and Gideon, Joshua, Moses, Paul, Peter and John, they all got discouraged at times. Yet in the midst of great persecution, I love Paul. Do you like Paul? The Apostle Paul. Because, I mean, this guy just kept going. They whipped him. They beat him. He was in shipwrecks. He was neglected. He was left for dead. And he picked himself up, dusted himself off, and kept going. He says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 to 9. Listen to his words. He says this: we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Yes. Afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. How can he do that? When he feels like this, how can he do 2 Corinthians 4 verses 8 and 9? It never seemed to overwhelm him. It never crushed him. It never destroyed him. He was able to take the word disappointment and change the D for a H. And what does it say? His appointment. He was able to conquer disappointment by turning it into his appointment. So while discouragement can cause depression and the inability to act, it can also motivate a person, giving renewed determination. Like Nehemiah, we can let discouragement either get us down, or like he did, we can cause us to find a way to solve the problem. We can pray and plan and then move ahead, knowing that God is with us. So what are the causes of discouragement? I looked at a dictionary definition of discouragement, said this: to deprive of courage, hope, or confidence, to dishearten, to dispirit. It's a feeling of inadequacy, really, isn't it? Being overwhelmed by feeling. It's the feeling of being overwhelmed by feelings of inadequacy. You notice I said feelings twice. Because that's what it's about. It's not based on fact. It's based on feelings. Discouragement is about how you feel. It's all about feelings. There are three underlying causes for discouragement, so psychologists tell us. One is the lack of confidence in God. Two is the lack of confidence in ourselves. And three is the lack of direction for the future. But all of these three are made worse by external factors, circumstances, other people's words and opinions. How many of you have been hurt by something someone else has said? How many of you have been discouraged by something someone else has said? They might be well-meaning, but they say words and it just deflates, it just takes the wind out of your sails, doesn't it? It can be affected by timing, defeat, ridicule. They all make discouragement seem worse, but the true cause of discouragement is not what they say and do, it's internal. It's in me, it's in you, and it's part of human nature. For example, you may know that I do quite a bit of singing out and about, sing with Bill Newman. Now, I might go to a crusade and I might sing my heart out and get a whole bunch of, you know, people saying how wonderful they thought it was, and get one person comes and criticizes me. Who do I remember? Exactly right. You might organize something in the church. Everybody says how great and awesome it is. One person comes along and says, "Ah, you could have done that better." What do you think about? What do you obsess on? You don't say, nine people thought it was awesome, they love me. You say, one guy criticized me, and that's what fills your mind, isn't it? Is it true? What do you remember? You remember that one guy or girl, especially if it's your wife. And all these pressures build up, and I find I rehearse the negative things over in my mind until I approach overwhelm. Hello? Does anybody do that? Do you ever replay stuff over and over in your mind? You know, someone said something to you and you think of all these incredibly witty retorts and replies, but you think of it when you're in bed at night, and at the time you just went, blah, blah, you know. It's true, isn't it? We run it round in our head. And this feeling of overwhelm is the feeling that fuels discouragement. God knows and understands. He understood the task that Joshua faced to enter the promised land. Here's Joshua. He's about to take the people into the promised land in Joshua chapter 1. Okay, if you've got a Bible, look it up. Joshua chapter 1. Here he is about to go into the promised land. And what's happening? Moses is gone. The people have been wandering round and round for 40 years. And now it's his job to lead them into the promised land. Talk about overload. What does God say to him again and again and again and again? He says, be strong and courageous. Why? because he knows Joshua would have been prone to discouragement. The opposite of discouragement is encouragement, but both of them have the word courage in them. So that's where we need to be full of courage as we face these things. And then God gives him a clue. Joshua 1:8 says this, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything that is written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." What's the key to success? The key to success is filling your mind with this stuff. Because if you do that, suddenly you start to see things God's way instead of your way. You start to see things Yahweh instead of your way. See, discouragement is the overwhelm that you feel, the down that you feel, the inadequacy you feel when things do not work out. You feel weak, you feel useless. Interestingly, I noted in myself, I frequently get a feeling of discouragement after a great triumph. Like if I've done something, it's been really awesome, I will come home and I will chew that around in my head until I convince myself that it wasn't that great and I'm really not, you know, it was really, and I just discourage myself. Does anybody here do that? We shoot ourselves in the foot after we've had some great triumph. The feeling of flatness after the high is something that really stirs up discouragement in you. That's why God directed Joshua to his word. Because if you keep putting the word of God in your life, this thing never takes root. But if you move away from God and you neglect your quiet times and you're not reading the word and you're not praying, suddenly this thing starts to take root in your soul and you get really discouraged. So how do you overcome the overwhelm of discouragement? I said before, discouragement is a feeling. It can cripple you. It can make your life miserable. It can drive people away from you. But it's just a feeling. How many of you know if you're really miserable and discouraged that people don't want to be around you? Have you noticed that? You know, people, if you're really down, people come up to you and, "How are you doing?" "Oh, not too bad under the circumstances." Well, what are you doing under there? You should be above the circumstances, not under there. This thing can absolutely cripple you. So how can you overcome discouragement and face life's difficulties and challenges with the opposite spirit, which is encouragement? I'm going to run through some points here before I wrap it up. Number one, you need to know that God cares about you. The first step is to understand what God thinks of you. If you see God as harsh and judgmental, no wonder you get discouraged. If you see God up there with a big stick ready to hit you if you get out of line, you'll get discouraged. But you need to see yourself the way God sees you. Here's a few verses that will tell you how God sees you, what he really thinks about you. Psalm 139 verse 14 says this, "I praise you for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made." Are you fearfully and wonderfully made? You are. Psalm 17 verse 8, "Keep me as the apple of your eye." You are, I mentioned this the other week, you are the apple of your father's eye. The apple means in Hebrew, it's the pupil of the eye. It's the most delicate part. You are the most delicate part. The bit that he loves the most. How good is that? Deuteronomy 7 verse 6, "The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession." You are a treasured possession. Did you know that? You're not just some run-of-the-mill Christian. You are a treasured possession. What about 1 Peter 2 verse 9? "But you are a chosen people." It doesn't say a frozen people. It says a chosen people. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. You see, when God looks at you, he doesn't see a mistake. He doesn't see a failure. What he sees is that you are fearfully and wonderfully made and he loves you. That's what he sees. To start overcoming discouragement, you've got to start seeing yourself through God's eyes as God sees you. You are precious. You are special. You're chosen. You're indwelled by his spirit. You're not a mistake. You're not a failure. And you're not an embarrassment. As I was researching this, I read the story of a girl whose name was Jenny, who was born with Down syndrome. And she wrote this, and I was so encouraged by this because she went to school one day. And the kids can be merciless, can't they, sometimes? The kids picked on her because she was different. She has Down syndrome. And she came home and she said to her mum, "Look, I'm a mistake. everybody hates me, I'm a failure, I just can't handle this. And her mum challenged her with this. She said, I will give you $5,000 if you can find anywhere in the Bible that God says you're a mistake. Jenny then writes this, I never got the money. But she concluded, God doesn't make mistakes, and that's the truth, no matter what we think sometimes. If a girl with Down syndrome can get the revelation that she is special and beautiful and used by God, why can't we? The second thing is, ride out the storm. When you get discouraged, many people never realize their full potential because when they get discouraged by the battles they face, they give up too soon. It's that simple, isn't it? We must never quit. Galatians 6 verse 9, one of my favorite verses, particularly since I've taken over the church here. Let us not grow weary of doing good. Do you ever get weary of doing good? I do. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Picture this. 22 years of age, failed in business. 23, ran for legislature, defeated. 24, again failed in business. Age 25, elected to legislature. 26, sweetheart died. Age 27, had a nervous breakdown. At age 29, was defeated for Speaker of the House. At age 31, was defeated for elector. At age 34, was defeated for Congress. At age 37, was elected to Congress. Then age 39, was defeated for Congress, dropped back out again. Then at age 46, ran for the Senate and was defeated. Ran for Vice President at 47, defeated. Ran for Senate again, age 49, defeated. But at age 51, Abraham Lincoln was elected to the President of the United States. That's why postage is so expensive, because it sticks to the job until it's done. Don't give up. Ride out the storms and make no big decisions in the worst time. We do this, don't we? We get down and we start making these mammoth decisions. Don't do it. If you are discouraged, that is not the time to make a big decision. Number three, realizes that God uses ordinary people. We don't have to be spiritual giants to experience God's grace in our lives. He chooses ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things for him. 1 Corinthians 1 verses 26 to 27. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. We've got my sister Leonella over here. I think she's special, but she would say she is no one special. But I've seen her and her husband and their ministry do amazing things. Amazing things. Her husband, Welly, who's my very dear friend and brother, came to me one day. He said, he was feeling quite discouraged. He said, I'm not very good as a pastor. And I said, why? He said, in my whole ministry, I've only raised one person from the dead. And being the brother that I am, I said, well, shame on you. That's pathetic. But that's humility. He's an ordinary guy that God picks up. And how many people in the church are just ordinary guys that God picks up and does something special with? You see, God doesn't need you to be pretty, talented, gifted, or anything else. He just needs you to be available and willing. Are you? He delights to do the extraordinary with the ordinary. Number four. This one will hurt a little bit. Don't be defeated by the negatives. I bet you anything that if you listen, you are surrounded by voices saying you can't do it or it won't work. Is that true? That's what the world dishes up every time. Listening to these voices discourages you. It's time to take your eyes off the negatives and place them firmly on something and someone positive. Isaiah 54 verse 17. See, I keep harping on about reading the Word of God. I read the Word of God every day in my quiet time. Why? Because I need it. I can't do this by myself. I can't live my life by myself. I need His power within me. And the only way to get that is to come to Him every day and say, Lord, fill me up, fill me up. But listen, if you're feeling discouraged, listen to the words of Isaiah 54 verse 17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And you shall refute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the vindication from me, declares the Lord. Don't you love that? We've been talking just recently about people being attacked on Facebook for expressing the no point of view in our plebiscite. But no weapon formed against you shall, no tongue shall prosper against you, because we're doing the will of Almighty God. So trust me, anytime you do anything, people have an opinion. Have you noticed that? Mostly unsolicited. I don't go around asking people for their opinion very often, but I get it delivered quite often. And trust me, opinions are like noses. Everyone has one, and most of them smell bad. Number five, remember that you are special. We mentioned this before, that you are not an accident. You are created in God's image to love him and to serve him. You are special. You are precious. Isaiah 43 verse 4 says this, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, I love you, declares the Lord. I give men in return for you, people in exchange for your life. You are chosen of God and you are special. How good is that? He looks at you and he sees someone who is awesome. If you are discouraged, you need to stop and get your head around the fact that you are actually valuable to God. Jesus says you are worth more than many sparrows. He has the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin. He has the parable of the lost son, who despite all of the mess ups he made in his life, when he came back, the father wrapped his arms around him. You are loved. You are precious and special. And he longs to wrap his arms around you and love all over you this morning. Listen, it's not what you do for him that makes him love you. It's just that you are you. And he loves you no matter what, and no matter what you've done. People say to me, I remember one time I was in a prison ministering to a young guy there. He said to me, I can't give my heart to the Lord because I've committed murder and he would never take me. And I said, that's not true. And I opened my Bible and showed him numerous instances where God has extended grace to you no matter what you've done. So you might have messed your life. It doesn't matter. If you come to him, he will turn your life around. God uniquely created us and designed us to serve him. No one else can do what you can do for him. You are uniquely gifted to minister to people. No one else will ever meet the people that you meet and minister in the way that you minister. You must not give up just because there are challenges and obstacles. Don't get discouraged. Get encouraged. Number six, another one that hurts, watch your behavior. As I've said before, what we focus on determines what we become. So not only must we focus on Christ, but we must also focus on our behavior. 1 Peter 2 verse 12 says this, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. What Peter is saying there is live a life that is worthy. You know, don't be ashamed. Make sure your behavior lines up with God's word. If you're feeling discouraged, you need to pay close attention to your behavior. We need to do what is right no matter how we feel. We should make sure of our behaviors, that our behaviors determine our feelings instead of our feelings determining our behaviors. Yeah, people say to me, oh, I'm just being myself. Well, that's fine, but be your best self. Don't dish that stuff. Be your best self. Maybe you're feeling so down, discouraged, and miserable that you think you cannot change your behavior. You might be grumpy and snappy. Who gets grumpy and snappy? Thank you, Fiona. I was waiting for that. Who else gets grumpy and snappy? Anybody? A lot of women get a little bit grumpy and snappy and turn on the waterworks, okay? Men tend to smolder in silence. Okay, men, who smolders? Yes, quite a few. But you might be grumpy and snappy. You might be yelling at the kids and snapping at those you love. And you say, I can't control it. I'm so discouraged and angry. I can't control it. Well, listen, I guarantee you, if the pastor knocks at your door, you'll suddenly control it. You will. So don't tell me you can't. If a policeman knocks at your door, you will suddenly control it. Trust me. Don't say you can't change, because you can and you must. Watching our behavior and being our best self not only changes your feeling, your discouraged feeling, but it can set you free to be creative, confident, and committed. These days, if you notice on the coast here where we are, we're discussing this with our Filipino friends, different culture over there. Here on the coast, people leave church for the slightest reason. I didn't like what he said. I didn't like what that person did. And we just vote with our feet, and there are people going around shopping around all these different churches because they can't find anywhere to settle. And I know none of you are like that, but many people out there are like that. And a decision to go your own way because you heard something you didn't like, or someone did something, wasn't well received, whatever. You need to watch your behavior, because if you keep serving, if you keep faithful and you keep focused on Christ, then God will raise you up in due time. He will. God will give you the ministry you've dreamed of in the church that you've dreamed of, but you've got to stick it out. This number seven is another ultra one. Mind your language. I shouldn't have to say this to Christians. My mum used to say, mind your language. And then she shortened it. She'd just say, language. Now, I'm not talking about swearing here. I'm hoping most of you don't. I'm talking about how you speak to yourself about yourself. If you constantly speak words over your life, they become a self-fulfilling prophecy. Proverbs 23:7 in the King James says this, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And Jesus put it this way in Luke 6:45. You'll know this verse, very good verse. The good person brings good out of the treasure in his heart. The evil person brings evil out of the treasure in his heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you're constantly speaking negative, that's what's in your heart. And you won't change that until you change that. What you say constantly reveals what's going on inside you. If you constantly tell yourself that you can't do it, it's too hard and you're not worth it, then your actions will follow suit most often. Did you know that? What we speak, this is not a sort of a blab it and grab it thing here, don't get me wrong, but what we speak affects how we think about ourselves. It really does. And you know, the funny thing is, everybody sets up these barriers. I remember years, way before I was born, there was this thing called the 4-minute mile. Who remembers that? Roger Bannister and all that sort of stuff, right? When he broke the 4-minute mile, someone broke his time within a couple of months. And now everybody does the 4-minute mile. But for years it was that impenetrable barrier, because people kept talking about it. And suddenly someone had the courage to break through that. Fiona pulled me aside just recently because she said, you've got to watch what you're saying. Because I was constantly saying that I'm tired. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. So I kept saying it. And she said, if you don't stop saying it, you won't ever not be tired. And you know what? I changed the words that I was saying, and now I don't feel as tired. It's weird, but it's really true. Watch what you say to yourself. Watch what you say about yourself to others, because it directly affects what you do. Number eight, be persistent, but give yourself permission to fail. We are tough on ourselves sometimes. You need to have permission to fail, don't you? And to be persistent. This is me doing a running race. I've got all these friends inviting me to the gym at the moment. I just say, give my regards to the gym. Say hi. That's as near as I get. Luke 18 tells the story of a persistent widow. Do you remember that story? She badgered the judge to give her protection until he said in Luke 18 verse 5, because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And I mean, it's an amazing parable. But what it is, what the Lord is saying here is keep persisting. Don't give up. We mentioned before, don't give up. Korean grandmother Sasun went for her driver's license for the first time at age 60. She failed the written portion, consisting of 40 multiple choice questions, 949 times. It's a true story. The concept of many of the questions were confusing to her, being an elderly woman living in a remote village. And finally, on the 950th attempt, she got a passing grade of 60 and moved on to the actual driver's test, which she only failed four times before getting passing marks and being able to drive. Do you know, one of the local newspapers picked this up. She actually became a national hero in South Korea. And when she got her full license, the Kia Motor Company gave her a car for free and used her in their advertising. What a great story. So don't give up. How many of you would have given up after 900 times of failing the test? 800, 700, 10. Persistence is essential because discouragement makes you want to give up. You also need to give yourself permission to fail because we all fail at some point. Failure is not permanent. It's a learning process. We try, we fail, we figure out where we went wrong, we correct it. It's called learning. Give yourself permission to fail. It's okay. God is not up there with a big stick waiting for you to fail. He's just not. He's there with words of encouragement. That when you fail, he wants to lift you up and say, come on, let's do it. Let's do it again. Let's try. Let's get it right this time. Finally, number nine, focus on Christ. What you focus on has a huge bearing on what you become. The voices of the world are shouting at you all the time. But when you focus on Jesus, the discouragement in your heart will be replaced with peace. Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Perfect peace. Who would like perfect peace in your life? Get rid of that discouragement. Put perfect peace in your life. You've got to focus on the Lord. No life is meaningless if Christ is at the center of it. If you want perfect peace in your life, set your mind on the Lord. When you look to him, the negatives disappear. Or can I say it in the way that we sung before? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Say it with me. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Do you know, I'm an optometrist, and I can tell you it is a biological fact that if you stare at something and you don't move your eyes, the peripheral vision shuts down and you're left with what you're looking at right there. Did you know that? If you turn your focus on the Lord and focus on him, all of this stuff fades away. It's only big when you're looking at it. When you're looking at him, it's not big at all. So what we focus on is what we become, and it's reflected in our speech and our actions. Folks, the answer to discouragement this morning is getting our focus off ourselves and our limited resources and our current situation with all of its disappointments, off the negative things people say about us, and instead making a conscious effort to focus on the unlimited power of an omnipotent God. That's the cure to discouragement. He can do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Even in the face of life's greatest challenges, his grace is sufficient. When we give our discouragement to God, he can encourage and draw us even closer to him. You know, the year is getting on and many of us are tired and flat and discouraged. The things we hope for haven't happened. Maybe things we feared have happened. But I'm telling you, today is the day we commit to taking our eyes off our circumstances, off our problems, off our disappointments, and put them firmly on Jesus Christ. That's the challenge for today. It's like a fuel tank. When we focus on Christ, it involves some commitment and effort. So I have to point this out too. Before we fill her up, it involves some commitment and effort. You can't just kick back and say, well, I'm just going to do nothing and watch TV all day and God's going to open this amazing thing for my life. Won't happen. Won't happen. Why? Because you're not so. When the Bible says wait, the Hebrew word kawa, it does not mean that you sit around and twiddle your thumbs. It means that you keep doing what you're doing and you keep doing it expectantly and he will open the door for you to walk through. Don't sit on your backside wasting time watching movies, or don't waste your time working. I know you think work's important, but when you put your eyes on Christ, it's not that important anymore. It's just not. What's more important is what we can do in and through him. We're like a car. When you get discouraged, your tank is empty. You only see the circumstances. You hear all the negative words. You get discouraged, but there's nothing in your tank to focus on. You're empty. You need to be filled up. So what do you fill yourself up with? What do you put in your mind? How do you do this? Philippians 4 verses 8 to 9. One of my favorite verses. Listen to this. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is anything of excellence or worthy of praise, think about these things. Don't put junk in your head and expect to have a clear mind focused on Christ. It's never going to happen. If you're discouraged right now, you need to start filling your mind, filling your heart with the things of God. Get off the TV, get off Facebook, and get into your daily Bible readings. We've got a Bible reading plan at the back there. Why don't you use it? They're short, sharp little readings. Action-packed, and they build into your life. But don't spend your whole life on Facebook and expect to come away encouraged, because there's nothing out there, really, that brings you that level of encouragement. Connect with positive people is another thing. Connecting with people whose tank is full, or at least more full than yours, is an important part of conquering discouragement. If you're discouraged, listen, the time has come for you to skip the kids' football or Sunday morning markets and get yourself to church. Because this is where you can build encouragement into your life. But instead of plugging into our church family, many people who get discouraged isolate themselves. They draw away from the church just at the moment when the church could gather around them and give them the encouragement they need. Whatever you face today, however discouraged you may feel, focus on Christ, fill your mind with the Word of God, and please get to church. This or another one, don't care, get yourself to church. Because I promise you, a new day will dawn, and this year will be filled with hope and joy, not with discouragement. If you're feeling discouraged today, you need to get filled up, and right now. Today is the day you hand your burden of discouragement to Jesus and let him carry it for you. Matthew 11, you'll know this verse, I love it. So many of you have carried, discouragement's like a burden, isn't it? It just weighs you down, it weighs you down, it weighs you down. Jesus says this in Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Today, many of you are struggling with discouragement. Don't go it alone. Don't carry the burden alone any longer. Come to Jesus this morning. Come and let his Holy Spirit refill your tank and empower you to overcome discouragement in your life. When we respond to God in faith, we delight him, and he pours his blessing and his guidance upon our life.
You've been listening to Pastor Darren Brown, Senior Pastor of Coast Church, Wumbai, on the beautiful Sunshine Coast of Queensland, Australia. For more messages from the heart, transcripts, and other material, visit www.coastchurch.com.au or subscribe on podbean.com. See you next week on Messages from the Heart.